Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to do something a little bit different than what's normally done here. I'm going to share my message, and then I think it might finish a little bit earlier than I planned to, but finish early, and then I've got something I want to pass out. I've got Jacob and some of Jeremiah to pass out a sheet that I'd like to just go over with you for some practical stuff. I just didn't think it would be the proper to do it in the sermon. I did ask Jeremiah and Jacob to sing a song this morning, 16 tons. And Jeremiah said he knew the song, but I didn't give him enough time to get ready. So any of y'all older people like me, if you know 16 tons, another day older and deeper in debt. That's what my message is about this morning, about debt. I've been listening to a Christian radio program called Money Wise. Some of y'all may be aware of it, by Howard Dayton. I've used some of his materials to help me with this message. I've also heard Chip Ingram, which we're doing on Wednesday night, the video series, and I don't think he's got it in his book, but he mentioned it, that it's a major problem in our society, and it's a major problem in the church. So that's what the Lord's laid on my heart today, a message about debt. Okay, just to let you know where we are, some of these numbers surprised me. Some of them were better than I thought. How much do we owe, and to whom do we owe it? According to NerdWallet's 2015 American Household Credit Card Debt Study, the average U.S. household with debt owes $130,922. So if you owe debt, the average of all the debts together is $130,922. That includes credit cards, mortgages, auto loans, student loans, and other forms of debt. And here's a breakdown. This was at the end of the fourth quarter of 2015. Credit cards, the average household with credit card debt, okay, so this is not everybody, but the ones that have this type of debt, is $15,762 in debt. In the United States, that adds up to $733 billion in debt. Households with this type of debt, so if it's only one or a few people, you say, well, that's not that bad, but it's 46.5 million people carry this type of debt. These are the households. This number was actually lower than I thought. The percentage of Americans' households with this type of debt, I think this means that they carry a debt from one month to another, not that they pay it off at the end of every month, 35% hold that kind of debt and are having to pay maybe the minimum payments or can't make the payments. The overall average household debt in credit cards, this is everybody, the ones that do have it and the ones that don't, $5,517. Okay? So we're going to learn later on from Scripture, we don't want to be average, but you can be thinking to yourself, do you owe $5,517 in credit card debt? That's the average. Mortgages, the ones that hold that debt, is $168,614. That's $8.25 trillion. 36% of the people have a mortgage. That's another one that was lower than I thought. I think this is talking about people. A lot of people are renting. Some people, I didn't think it was this many, but some people have paid off their house. I haven't got there yet, but hopefully in a few years. The overall average household debt with mortgages is $60,700. That's the average mortgage across everybody, the ones that don't have mortgage, ones that do. Cars is a big one. The average loan left out with cars, $27,141, the ones that have car loans. That's over $1 trillion. 29% of the people owe money on their cars, and the average over the whole, all the households, the ones that do and don't, is $7,871 is the average. one that's been getting a lot of press lately. It's actually starting to flatten out some because people are some people are stopping going to college because it's gotten so expensive. But student loan debt has gone through the roof. The average student loan debt is $48,172. It's over $1.23 trillion, so it's past auto loans. The number of households that have it, 19% of the households have it, but there may be two students or three students in the house, so this is by household. So the average household owes $9,153 in student loan debt. Okay, then they put it all together, all of these debts together. What's the average household with any type of debt owes $130,922, over $12 trillion in debt. Households with this type of debt is 69%. Almost 70% of all households have one of these types of debt, credit cards, mortgages, auto loans, or student loans. And the average, overall average household debt, $90,336. That's just on everything put together and across the board, the people that are not in debt, the people that are over $90,000. So as you can see, these numbers, and they always say numbers don't lie. You can make numbers say pretty much whatever you want to, but this looks pretty close to what I've been reading and everything, so I can't quote it 100% correct, but I think these numbers are pretty close. One that kind of stuck out to me was the credit card debt. They have different kinds of debt, and there's people here that know more about this than I do. What they call good debt, bad debt. Credit cards, as most people agree, if you carry it from month to month, is a bad debt. So $15,762 in average household credit card debt generates $2,630 in interest charges per year. That average is 16.7%. So if you think of credit cards, normally people buy stuff that's consumable, clothes, food, things like that, that are not going to last. And the average APR, annual percentage rate, is 16.7. So when you're buying a TV with a credit card and you don't pay it off at the end of the month, you're actually paying, instead of, let's say, $1,000, you're paying $1,116. You're paying more and more money for what you're getting. So I think you can see, as a country, and we know that it is sad. The other day I couldn't believe Chip was saying that divorce in the church was higher than in the whole country. That was hard for me to believe. So if that's the case, I would say probably the church as a whole, I'm not just saying us here, but church as a whole, probably debt is an issue for some of the believers here and many of the believers out in the country. Some of the things that divorce cause, money issues are one of the top reasons that Christians divorce. One of the top reasons Christians divorce is because of money issues. And I think it was, and the one that I was looking was third. It's hard to live for the Lord when you're in debt over your head. When you have people calling, asking for money, when you're going from one job to another and you can't make ends meet, it's hard to focus on the Lord and do what He wants you to do. A lot of times people in debt, unable to give to the Lord's work like we should when we're in massive debt, when we're in a lot of debt, it's hard for us to give to the Lord's work. Being in excessive debt brings tremendous stress into the family. I've seen it personally. I'm not going to call names, but a friend of mine, not here at the local church, but outside of church, had some issues with health, had some issues with losing a job, ended up losing a car. One day we saw the car there, and then the next day it was gone. And then two or three years later, their house was up for bankruptcy, and they had to be thrown out of their house. So this, I'm sure y'all could probably tell other stories, but I saw that family personally go through a lot of stress on the marriage and with the kids. It was a very tough time. When you're in major debt, it can consume your mind, your time, and just your whole life. When you've got that type of debt hanging around your neck, I've seen people in it, and they really can't think or focus on anything else when they've got that kind of debt. Now, this is one kind of very strong here, and this doesn't have to happen, but this can happen. I'm quoting this. People who are struggling financially sometimes see no end in sight to their debt and their bills. The financial stress can take a major toll on a person's mental health. There have been cases of even millionaires committing suicide because they spent all their money and had to file for bankruptcy. In a difficult economy, unemployment is linked to increased financial stress. But even if you are employed, you may still have financial problems. Those who have accumulated a serious amount of debt as a result of an unforeseen emergency, excessive shopping, and/or medical bills may panic and feel suicidal when they can't pay their bills. The stress of having a poor credit score and constant phone calls from bill collectors may make some people feel ashamed and hopeless to change their financial situation. Although most people in financial troubles eventually end up working their way out of debt, some people are afraid to deal with this situation. In the event that a person becomes embarrassed about their finances and feels depressed about their debt, they may consider suicide as a way to escape this situation. This was by Mental Health Daily that I saw on the internet. So it can be a very serious thing. Think of divorce, think of suicide. It's a serious problem, and I think sometimes we as believers, especially maybe in church, don't want to talk about money or hear about money. But I know that people are hurting, and I think that it's important for us to know what God says about money and about debt. If you will, we're going to look at that because we know that all truth comes from God's Word. These are just facts to try to set the tone that there is a problem, and we're going to try to see the solution in God's Word. If you will, turn to Romans 13:8. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything except to love one another. So here we're seeing in God's Word that the ideal situation is to owe no one anything else except to love them, not owe them money. That things change between relationships when you borrow money from like a family member or a friend, something about the relationship changes. So I would encourage you to, myself included, to owe no one anything except to love them. Don't owe them money because we'll see in this next verse what that's like. Proverbs 22:7, and y'all don't have to turn to all these. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. So you don't want to be a servant or a slave to a family member or to a friend. You want to be a friend, a relative, a loved one, and have that type of relationship. I've seen in my own life, I don't want to get into details, but what money can do to divide a family up. Families that have been together for years and years, and then a disagreement about money, and they don't even talk to each other anymore. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I think it was Walnut Cove or somewhere close by in the last week or 2 weeks. Two brothers got an inheritance, and they had a disagreement, and one of them shot the other one. So it can be a serious situation when you have money problems, and we want to learn what God says about money. 1 Corinthians 7:22, For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. We were bought with a price. We were bought by the blood of Christ. We are to be slaves. We heard this morning that we're more than slaves. We're brothers with Christ, but we're also called servants of Christ. We are to be serving Him 100%. If we owe this person money, we owe this credit card company money, we owe this person money, then in actuality, we've got more than one master. We're serving other people. So we need to get our focus on serving Christ and not owe other people. 1 Samuel 22:1, this is, we're looking at, we're encouraged not to be in debt. Romans 13:8 showed us that. Debt is compared to being a slave, Proverbs 22:7. We're commanded to be slaves to Christ, not to men. And then I'd like to look at a few examples of the hardship of debt in God's Word. First, 1 Samuel 22:1-2. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all their father's house heard it, they went down to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now we know that they became his mighty men, but they weren't very mighty at the time when he came there to that cave. These were people in distress, in debt, and discontented. Basically the outcasts, the ones that didn't fit in the system, the ones that were shunned, and one of this group were the people that were in debt. I think this shows a picture, though, for those that may be in debt. David came, and the country, the people there didn't want these people, but he took them in and made him one of the mighty men. So that shows us, I think, that not to lose hope, that we have a mightier man, Jesus Christ, that can take us in our mistakes that we may have made in debt or any other thing, and can bring us in and make us one of his mighty men. If you will, turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. These are a few, a little bit longer verses. I think you can follow this without me turning on you too quick. Nehemiah chapter 5, 1-5, talking about hardship in debt. Talking about hardship. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1-5. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, "We, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore let us get grain, that we may eat and live." There were also some who said, "We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine." There were also those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." Now this is one, I think, where they were going through a famine, and sometimes, please don't take what I'm saying up here as me being critical of people in debt, because I don't know your situation, and I don't know if you've been through a famine. Some famines in today, was like I said before, could be a health problem, could be losing a job, could be several different things. Could be a famine in your life where you can't help your situation. I think that's when brothers and sisters in Christ come together, and for you not to be ashamed, but come and let us know the situation and let us help. That we're taught in God's Word to help the brothers and sisters in Christ in need. So please, I think that the elders wouldn't mind me saying that we're here to help you if you're going through that type of famine. Realistically, though, I would say in our country, that's a small percentage that we're not going through a famine. A lot of times it's because of our own choices, our own actions, that we're in this type of debt. I think of how bad it must have been for them to give their daughters and their sons into slavery. I hate to even mention this, but a year or two ago, there was this lady, and I think there might have been some mental issues there too, but for money was selling her daughters as prostitutes to get money for her. And this is just 20 minutes from here where this is happening. So this can be some sad situations, and this has to be a desperate time for them to do that. Psalm 109:11 says, "Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let the strangers plunder his labor." This is a psalm about David, and he had, I guess, had it all he could have about this enemy that he was going against. And he finally was pronounced and saying, "God, let the creditor come in and just take everything he has." This was one of the curses, just take everything he has. Let him plunder his labor. Let him work and somebody else get the fruit of his labor. Jeremiah 15:10 says, "Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent for interest, nor have men lent me for interest. Every one of them curses me." This is Jeremiah, and he's not like the people are against him. And he's saying here, this is an example, I didn't lend people interest in those times, and even now I think of payday loans. I think of where our brother Caleb is in Fayetteville. A lot of times at the military, they'll come up with payday loans, and same as cash. And basically, it sounds good that you go in there and you get an early payday loan, but then you don't pay it back on time, and then the interest is excessive. You go in and buy a television. They say it's same day as 90 days, same as cash. Well, on the 91st day, you don't have the money to pay it. And then they get a lot of extra money for that television. I think of this as the same. Back in those days, they took advantage of the poor people and charged them excessive interest. And the same thing is going on today. But Jeremiah is saying that he didn't do that. He said, "I didn't borrow money, I didn't loan money and take advantage of people, but these people are still against me." So this is another example that being in debt is not a good thing. We'll see in Deuteronomy, if you'll turn to Deuteronomy 28, debt was considered in the Old Testament a curse. Being in debt was considered a curse. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Then there was a long list of curses if you did not obey the voice of the Lord. If you skip down to verse 43, "The alien is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you." For some reason, this made me think of our country. If you think about, you hear it all the time, and it's hard to not, we're the richest country on earth. And then I see this and as a curse, "He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him." I'm thinking about with all the money we have, with all the things that we have, and we are almost $20 trillion in debt that we owe China and other countries exorbitant amount of money, and to me it looks like it should be the other way around. That if we're the richest, that we should be lending to other people, but I'm not saying that this is necessarily a curse, but it makes me think of that we can't even afford to pay what we owe as far as Social Security and things like that. They say that it's gonna come a time. We know in 2008, I was thinking about my mom and dad. They bought a house in, I think it was 67 or 68, right when I was born. They kept it for 30 years. They paid $17,000. I don't think they'll mind me telling y'all. $17,000 for a house. It was nothing special, but a nice house. In 1999, they sold it for $100,000. So it went up 600% approximately in about 30 years. Just looking at houses and my lifetime, when we bought a house in 99 to now, honestly, it's about flat. 2008, I know we had that, the crash and everything like that, but at least houses in Rockingham County are not going at the rate they once were. So it just made me think here that he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. And I see that in our own country, and we know that it falls down from the leadership down. The people see our country in debt, and then the people themselves go in debt. Being debt-free was considered a blessing. Deuteronomy 28:1, if you'll just go back a couple of verses. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all the blessings, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. The Lord will, verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. So this was considered a blessing, being able to lend to other nations. I think about Joseph when he went into Egypt and God gave him that dream and he saved the grain. People came to them, and how he made Egypt even more rich. And he was said in second in command that they were considered rich. They were loaning out to the other countries. And the Lord blessed him through that. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Proverbs 3:27, debt repayment, okay? All of us have had a debt. Maybe it's just a monthly debt and you pay it off every month. I know some of the believers here are, and we did a study in 2006 with Dave Ramsey, and at the end, his number one thing was to shout, "I'm debt free." I'm still waiting to say that, but that was a big thing that he was promoting. I've kind of moved. I still think that what he's teaching for the majority of the part is true, but I've kind of switched over to Howard Dayton a little bit. Just his style is a little bit more my style. But just thinking about, if we have daily or monthly bills, are you honoring the Lord in paying them? Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. If you've ever been, and I've been around people, they owe you money, and the next time you see them, if you're like me, sometimes you don't want to go up and say, where's my money? You're just hoping they'll remember. And then maybe they owe you, I don't know, $30 or $40. And then you see them go into the store or restaurant and lay a $100 bill down to buy their whatever, but they never say anything about paying you back. And that's a thing that kind of gets on my nerves, but I've probably done the same thing. I probably owed somebody and forgot about it. One friend of mine went to the doctor, and he was sick, and he had the bill, and he said, guess what I'm doing? I said, what's that? He said, I've got the money, but I'm just sending them $5 a month. He had the money to pay the bill off. It was due, but he said, I'm just going to pay them $5 a month for 10 years or whatever it was. But that type of thinking is not what the Lord wants. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow and I will give it when you have it with you. Psalm 37:1 says, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. The wicked borrows and does not repay. If you owe somebody, this is basic 101, if you owe somebody and you can pay them, then you should pay them back. The wicked borrows, and they don't really have any intention of paying it back. They just borrow, don't pay it back, and try to get away with it. If you will, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to say this as an encouragement to anybody that may be going through this. I'm not saying that God's going to do this for you. This was a miraculous event. He may decide to miraculously pay off your debt. More than likely, it's going to be you following His principles in His Word. And it's probably going to take some time and maybe some pain to get out of debt. But I think one reason here is this lady and her sons were in debt, and it wasn't of their own doing. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what to do. What do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty the vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in and shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. So this was a miraculous thing. Her husband died. She was in need. She was in debt. The creditors were coming to take her sons out. And she's asking the Lord through Elijah for help. And in a miraculous way, the Lord provided with the oil, which was then sold to help care for her and her family and pay off the debt. I wish I could say that could happen to everybody. It could happen in a miraculous way. The Lord could pay it. I've heard of stories where it was one story, it doesn't really exactly go with this, but this couple was wanting to adopt a child, and it was expensive to adopt a child, and I think it was $10,000. And this other couple came by and from the church and met with them, didn't really know the couple, and a couple days later, they found a check for $10,000 so they could have the child. So the Lord can use other believers. He can use basically any way that He wants oil to do this. I think we see in today's time that normally He uses other believers to help you come in beside Him. It may not be to pay your debt. It may be to help teach you how to handle money God's way. But I just wanted to share this with you because it is a sign of hope that God doesn't want you going through this pain and this debt. He wants you to be relieved from it. Deuteronomy 15:1-11, forgiveness of debts every seventh year. Okay, I'm sorry we don't have this law anymore. In the Old Testament, the seventh year, there was a law that said all the debts are forgiven. Okay, and I think the principle here is God is not in favor of debt. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1, at the end of every 7 years you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother. Except when there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren with any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you should open up your hand to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, in which you all put in your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Okay, so it's talking about the poor and needy, how we're supposed to help them. But the thing I want to focus on today is every 7 years, what would happen is maybe one farm was doing better than another, and then they didn't have enough food to eat, so they would have to sell maybe part of their land to this other farmer that was doing better so that they could feed their family. And this would go on for 7 years, but 7 years later, everything was given back. The land was given back to the original owner. This principle, and of course we don't have this today, we're not under law, but this principle, I think you can see the heart of God, is that he is not wanting his people to be in debt, in bondage. He wants them to be free. He wants them to have what they need and not be under bondage. In Philemon, we see the story of Paul offers to pay Onesimus' debt to Philemon. Most of you know the story. Philemon was a slave owner. He was associate with Paul. Onesimus ran away. He was a slave that ran off. Ended up, by the Lord's will, to meet Paul, and Paul led him to the Lord. Paul's writing a letter back to Philemon and saying, I want you to take this, now not slave, but brother, back into your home. So that's the background. Then he says in verse 18, but if he has wronged you, if the slave has wronged you or owes you anything, maybe he stole something on the way out for his trip. He might have just said, oh, I'm going to take this money or whatever, this food, and I'm going to head out. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. This is Paul speaking. I, Paul, am writing this with his own hand. They say that Paul had probably a scribe, someone was writing for him for some reason. He took the pencil or pen and said, I'm writing this down. You can count on it. I'll pay this back. He was writing it with his own hand. Not to mention, he did right here at the end, though, said, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. So he kind of said, I'll pay you back, but remember, I'm the one who gave you your life. I also led you to the Lord. But the principle I'm trying to show you here is that Paul had led this slave to the Lord, and he was willing to pay anything that he had wronged Philemon. He was willing to come in. And this related to me, which we're going to get into a little bit more in a second, but it reminded me of what Christ has done for us. He said, whatever wrong, I'm going to pay it. I paid it. When Satan comes and says, look what Todd did this again, he sinned again, and Christ is saying, I've already paid for that. It's already been dealt with. So I'm just thankful for that. And if we could look at that, we were all in debt because of our sin. Okay, so I'm switching now from money to sin. But Jesus paid the debt that we could never pay. If you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 40. Luke 7:40. I'm going to have to hustle here. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love you more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Thinking about forgiveness of debt. One maybe didn't have as many sins on our, looking at our side as the other, but both of them could have gotten forgiveness. The woman who had the many sins, she loved much. And thinking about myself, how much do I love Christ because of the forgiveness of my own sins? How much do I appreciate it? Colossians 2:13 to close. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He has paid our debt. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. We owed a debt. We couldn't pay it. We didn't have, there's no way we could have paid it. But he paid that debt for us. Just a little story here, and this goes back to the numbers. Imagine someone paying off all of your monetary debts for you. This is the average. Your $15,762 in credit card debt. Your $48,172 in student loan debt. Your $27,141 in car loan debt. And your $168,614 mortgage debt. For a total of $259,689. How would you feel about that person that come up and said, no strings attached, I'm paying all your debts off, you're free. Free from debt. Jesus paid a much greater debt for us. He paid for our sins through his death on the cross. We now have been freed from the punishment of sin and will one day be freed from the presence of sin in heaven. Have you accepted this free gift? If not, let today be the day you're set free from the debt of sin. You owe and receive the freedom only found in accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. How would you feel about that person that paid all your debts? How do we that have received that gift, how do we feel about Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that you have a heart for us not to be in debt. You don't want us to be in debt monetarily. You want us to be free to serve you and free to enjoy our life without the stresses of owing somebody money and being in that type of debt. I pray that if there be one here that maybe finds herself there, that you will help them, encourage them, let them come to one of us that maybe can help them and encourage them and build them up, help them not to get discouraged and distressed about it, but help them to find hope. And we know that true hope comes from you and from your word. I just pray that you will help them. Even more than that, Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that finds that they have a debt of sin that hasn't been paid for. It actually has been paid for, but they haven't accepted it. They haven't accepted the gift. I pray that today will be the day that they realize that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And they'll invite him into his or her heart today. We just thank you for blessing us. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.